Bruchim Abayim Hashem, Hashem Berach Nuchim Veitz Hashem. Welcome to our weekly Wednesday Shir. Dina Nishmas, Ruzun Bas Rochochana, and Ezra. And the schus of all those that need brachas and shuas and the chumas. Sorry. We're coming off Chag HaPesach. Today is considered or called, referred to as Yisrul Chag, Chag HaPesach. Chag HaPesach is a wonderful Yom Tov. In that, more than anything else, it unites family. It unites family. Family stay together. Family come together. It causes a little strife and grief for the fact that those family members that can't get together, or that have to go to in-laws, or that have to go elsewhere. For the most part, though, the Yom Tov itself represents unity. Achdus. Many different halachas, laws that are involved, halachic laws that are involved throughout the week of Pesach, the 8 days, the not eating of chametz, etc. One such law is not doing laundry. No. Obviously, everybody wants to know, Rabbi, there's got to be a loophole. Got to be a loophole. You got to be able to do some kind of laundry in between. It's not possible. If you have 2-3 children at home, it's where do you get all that clothes and where are you going to put it all? So I heard a mefes yesterday from the shliach in New Zealand. They didn't do laundry a whole week. Well, first of all, they didn't have time probably. Anyway, they were constantly on a run on a production line. They had 60-70 people each Seder. Baruch Hashem, and all these minyanim, and the people, and the coming, and the going, and the cooking. There wasn't time anyway to do laundry. But, regardless, the Shliach had rachmanis on his wife, and said, okay, instead of Matzi Yom Tov, let's start the machines, and let's start rolling the laundry, and start piling, and doing, and figuring out how to start and finish. He took everything in the car, went to the laundromat, took almost all the machines, and did the laundry. This is his gift to his wife. Achdus. Unity. Family. Values. Caring for one another. Every table has a discussion. For the most part, unfortunately, sometimes, discussions are not always the most positive conversations. But hopefully, somewhere, somehow, someone managed to get in a Dvar Torah. At the very least, during the Seder. Every year, a different message surfaces for that Yom Tov. And ironically, somehow or another, it gets across the table. Across the table means that people here, there, wherever they might be, talk about that subject. Interesting. At my Seder table, the two Zdarim, we didn't have all the children at one time. We had some of this Seder, some of this Seder. But I still shared the message, basically. I did not repeat for those who came to both Zdarim. The message of the Seder was Teichei Kibari. A person needs to be honest. Honest in that their inside is reflected from the outside. What you see is what you get. But in more so than just seeing what you're getting, in that simply that person that I, the persona that I pretend to, or put on to be, the pretense that I show, is actual. And that's how I am within me, and that's how I am, and that's how I present myself, and that's what I want to be, and that's who I want to be. Don't be one person in your heart and one person on the outside. It's difficult. It's a very difficult task, actually. And we brought different scenarios of the Haggadah that taught us just that. How one needs to be exactly that life. Whether it was Elazar ben Azariah, whether it was the four sons, whoever it might have been, that teaches us that lesson . This is a message to everyone across the board. It's hard. It's actually very hard. It's almost as difficult as Lashon Hara. Not talking Lashon Hara. To be able to be the persona that you are presenting. Be truly, through and through, that person. It's a very, very difficult task. A person that you let on that you care about, you let on that you say, that you think about, that you're concerned, that you feel connected to, whatever it might be. You let on to say that, but yet, if you could go 3-4 months without hearing from the person, they not care. Not care. Not have the slightest care in the world. Happens. What does that say to your actual feeling? To who you actually are? On the other hand, do I have to constantly show you that I care? Do I constantly have to be? Constantly, nobody has to do that. Constantly, a spouse does with his spouse. It's a parent to a child. For a person to be with another person, a relative or a friend or a connected person, whatever it might be, sometimes a good Shabbos, sometimes a good Yom Tov, the person makes a simcha, a mazel tov. Fine. Shows enough that your person's on your mind. Does one need to have conversation constantly in today's day and age? The texts, the WhatsApp, the Instagram, all the other forms of social media messages that one gives to somebody else, other people. You can tie yourself up in knots. And yeah, that becomes difficult, and then you become lost, and you say, okay, who do I talk to, who do I not talk to? Where do I stop, where do I start? The main thing is you need to be teichei kibari. You need to be true to yourself. A person that counts, that means something to you, you find time for. Find time for them. If they don't mean anything to you, and they happen to sometimes cross your path, so you happen to sometimes have a conversation with them, or sometimes a text comes across, or something to that effect, and that's how you... That's you either can answer or not answer. You could ignore. In today's day and age, they can go as far as blocking another person, get really bold, brazen. All different messages and vibrations, vibes as they would call them, that come across from one person to another. We're now in the weeks of Sfiras HaEmer. Between Pesach and Shavuos, we have the weeks of Sfiras HaEmer, and therefore we learn on Shabbos Pirkei Avos. And there are those that have accustomed to learn because the Gemara Masechta Seita is 49 blot to learn Masechta Seita a blot a day. In addition to all the other things you learn. So, traditionally, we have been doing the Shiurim of Sfiras HaEmer with a little bit of a Mishnah and a little bit of something in Masechta Seita, which will be in addition to the Parsha, which this week's Parsha, if I mentioned or not, I don't remember it, Acharei Mos. Acharei Mos is usually coupled together with Parsha's Kedoshim. This year it's separate because it was a leap year. So we have only Parsha's Acharei Mos. Also, very rarely is it right after Pesach. Also, the Shabbos of Varchim Chedesh Iyar, which means the month of Iyar is coming up next week. If a person has not yet made a bracha on the tree, not a bracha on a tree, a bracha is on the seeing of a tree, of a fruit tree, one should go see to it that they do so before Rish Chedesh, because it has to be done in Chedesh Nisan and only in Chedesh Nisan. It's not done throughout the spring. Sfiras HaEmer, of course, has to be counted each and every night. If one forgets to count at night, one should count by day without a bracha, and then continue counting with a bracha. If the person forgot to count with a bracha, without a bracha even by day, and didn't count the night before either, then they would have to continue the Omer counting without a bracha, and ideally would have to listen to somebody else making a bracha, and just answer Amen and count. It's a little painful to forget in the middle, but it's sometimes happens, a person doesn't daven a minyan, chas v'shalom, or something of the sort. Women don't usually daven with a minyan, they don't usually daven ma'ariv at all, therefore it's possible, it's apt for them to forget as well. Although in today's wonderful world of WhatsApp and all the other social media, you get about 47 messages of what tonight's Omer is, and all about it, and there are videos of that Omer, and what it's worth, and what it teaches us, and what each sphere teaches us, so the Chesed Sheba Chesed, the Chesed Sheba Gevurah, etc. And the Gevurah Sheba Chesed, and each day having its own representation, which is a whole different limud, or learning, which could have a shir in each day on its own. Pasha begins, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to warn Aaron, his brother, the prohibition entering Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies in the Holy Temple. And he tells him, "Val yovei b'chol eis ala kedush." Don't just come in randomly whenever you want. But the introduction to that is the before this commandment. It says, "Achri mei shnei bnei aharin." This happens. The commandment comes about after the passing of the two sons of Aaron, Achmon al-Tzan. What's the connection of the passing of the sons of Aaron and this prohibition? Rashi brings down, in the name of Elazar ben Azariah, a mushal of a sick man, an ill man, that's warned by his doctor, do not eat anything cold, and do not lie down anywhere that's damp. Then he goes to a second doctor and gets a second opinion, and this doctor tells him, do not eat anything cold, do not lie anywhere damp. Perhaps if you don't, you might die like this guy died. Needless to say, the second doctor's warning is going to get much more attention than the first, because he brings about the dangers. It was actually by Elazar and Azariah that we spoke about in the Haggadah. Harei Anikim and Shivim Shana, he says he was 70 years old. He was as if he was 70 years old. And the Gemara tells us, different Mepharshim tells us, commentaries tell us that he grew either a white beard or his hair turned white or whatever it was. He looked now much older. He was only 18. And that itself is a lesson teaching us, since the Haggadah is only to Vagarta Levincha, to teach your son, to teach your child, and give lessons to your child always. The lesson over here to the child is simple, of the Teichei Kabarai. Elazar ben Azariah was indeed a sage, and therefore they requested from him to become the head of the yeshiva. So he indeed had the knowledge at 18 years old to be great enough and to be staunch enough and to be able to stand up and be the head of yeshiva. That case, that being said, he was only 18. And he didn't look it. The old Yiddish of Mama gets on a bus and sits down next to this thug. Or not necessarily even a thug, just a very intimidating looking fellow. Either black or Asian, whatever it might have been. And the bus starts to roll and she says to him, "Excuse me, sir, are you Jewish?" He looks down at her and he says, "No." Okay. The whole bus is trembling. They're all watching this and they're saying, "Oh my gosh, this guy's going to kill her. What kind of, this woman has no seichel." Lo and behold, a few minutes later, she turns to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, pardon me for asking you again. Are you sure you're not Jewish?" He looks down at her again and he says, "No, I'm not Jewish." Guy doesn't look the slightest Jewish. So now the bus is ready to pick her up and carry her to a different seat, because God forbid this man is going to squash her. She's a little old lady. But lo and behold, a few minutes later, she does it again. "Excuse me, sir, it really is bothering me. I really, are you sure you're not Jewish?" The man couldn't take anymore. And everybody was, this is it, the man is going to kill her, Chas V'Shalom. But the man instead, looking very sympathetically at this poor little Jewish woman, the Yiddish Mama, who obviously wants to hear that he's Jewish, says to her, "Okay, ma'am, yes, I'm Jewish." She looks at him with this funny look and says, "You sure don't look Jewish." So the question was, are you capable of being the Rosh Hashiva Elazar ben Azariah? You're 18. What does an 18-year-old look like? You know what an 18-year-old looks like. So could you imagine that he would be the head of the yeshiva, capable of being the head of the yeshiva? So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle to have him look like he aged overnight, that as if he was 70 years old, so that they would know that the age of maturity and of knowledge which he bears within him looks the same now on the outside. So don't judge a book by its cover, as we say. But on the other hand, you want the cover to know, to teach you what the book is going to be. And therefore, him looking like a 70-year-old, they understood now, and they were able to more accept him being knowledgeable as a 70-year-old. So Elazar ben Azariah gives us this mashal in Rashi. Question is, why Dafke, this commandment, did it have to be with a threat of danger? It comes about within the mashal itself. A chela that has a very high fever and wants to bring down his fever through drinking water, cold water, and lying down in a cold place, the normal warning is to say it's not a good idea. It's not going to work for you. That's not enough. That's what I'm saying, is that not enough. It needs a step further to warn and to say how dangerous this is. You're not just not going to help yourself, you're going to endanger yourself also. And the same thing also, Aaron HaKohen. He had a tremendous tshuka to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a yearning to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this drew him to come into Kodesh Kodashim. And he suspected. This commandment, Al Yaveh B'chalei Sal HaKodesh, he will not be able to withstand. He wants to go Pnima. Therefore, the Torah mentions it, Dafka after the passing of his sons, who were Kervosom Lifnei Hashem, they brought themselves before God Almighty, and to tell us the great dangers of the matter, because they did what he wanted to do, because they too had that yearning. Obviously, he educated them well. They had that yearning of Yiratzu V'Neshev, as we spoke about many times. Connecting to God and staying up connected, not coming back down into a body. They didn't want to have anything physical. They wanted only to have the spirituality. And therefore, he had to be warned, Ayyavei B'chalei Sal HaKodesh. Is this a story? It's not a story. Nothing in this Torah is a story. But if the Torah tells us a happening, it's a lesson for us. A perpetual lesson for every Jew, every place. A Jew needs to strive to have this yearning that Aaron and his children had for godliness and for holiness and for sanctity. Even though that our ultimate end game, as we say, requires of us to find ourselves in this mundane world and to make this mundane world a dwelling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to feel ourselves as Al Korcha Chatachai, as we'll also pay a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, it's the end of Pirkei Dalet. We're going to do a different Mishnah Pirkei Aleph. That's Hashem. You are living on this world, you're forced to live on this world because you have to do what you have to do on this world. Otherwise, we'd keep you up in the mind and depart in the Shammah, the Chedek Lekam and Mamamish. The personal yearning has to be the opposite. To go out of the boundaries of the worldly boundaries and to be attached ourselves to the Eibishter. And if he withholds himself from this tshuka, this yearning, and he doesn't go out of his body and takes soul out of body, this is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us that the tafkid of the person is to make the world a dwelling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This requirement, the cheder, is not really possible. If a Jew, within his tachlis, within his essence, does what's required of him, and he wants to find himself in this world, and not go out of his body, and we tell him, yearn to go out of the body. then how truly, how honestly can he make do on this world and fulfill his mission that he's given, that's put upon him? And the answer, therefore, is as long as the person is in this situation, in their worldly realm, in their body, and it's not possible. However, when one gives themselves over totally to the Moshe Rabbeinu and to the entire essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he does not have any more any kind of ratzin of his own, any wants of his own. But the wants that he has is the ratzin of Hashem. What Hashem wants him to have, that's what he has. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting him these two opposite essences, these two opposite missions, one to build the world and to be a Dina B'Tachtenim, and one to connect ourselves and attach ourselves to the Ribono Shel Olam, each Jew, therefore, has the capacity to do both. Although they sound like total opposites, but they have that capacity. Now really this command, after the passing of Nadav and Avihu, the two children of Aaron, two separate things. To warn a person how to keep away from them. First commandment is said to Aaron back in Parsha Shmini. Immediately after this happened, HaKadosh Baruch says, Yayin v'sheich al teisht, v'yachim el meir, do not drink, do not imbibe wine, old wine, hard liquor, when you come in to serve in the el meir. And the second begins in our parsha, Dabar al achicha v'yom b'chaleis al kedush, as we just said. Do not come anytime you want into the kedush. The children of Adam were tremendous tzaddikim. As we see from the words of Moshe, Moshe and Aaron said, Rashi says it in our parsha, "Hem gedolim mimeni mimcho." They are greater than you and me. And the Holy Baal Erech Chaim HaKadosh explains that their sin was in that they put themselves only into the concept of kedusha, only in spirituality. So much so, Nafshim parchanish min megufam. Their nefashis flew out of their bodies. Tremendously high level, but it's a sin nonetheless, as we just discussed. Because the Eibishter wants us on this world to fulfill our shlichus and to refrain from sin. Therefore, these two commandments were given. These two commandments hint to the two situations that in essence contradict one another. One is Kaleis HaNefesh, just the soul leaving out, and one is the running of Elam Hazeh, running away from Elam Hazeh. From one side, when a person sanctifies his lifestyle, Teda and Avedas Hashem, in such a level that he declines practically or pushes away Gashmius of the world, and it all actually means nothing to him. The person wants to leave the world. And the other one, the opposite, a Jew who is very involved in his parnasa and all the world's happenings and everything else, he fulfills in within one day, in one moment, his situation, And he can open up a yearning of running away from the world and going out of his goof. Dafka, through the involvement of his elam of this world, can he awaken how to want to leave the world. People of the first level, it says, Yayin v'sheicher al teisht. That first level, the people are warned, do not drink, do not imbibe. Yayin is a hint to Seydeis HaTorah. Nichnas Yayin Yetzei Seyd. Keeping score at home, it's Gemara Erev in Samachay in the bottom of Amar Aleph. And many other places in Shas. Nichnas Yayin Yetzei Seyd. Wine goes in and the secret comes out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns, Al tis amek b'seydeis HaTorah. Ad kidei kach sha'adova yigrim l'chos shikros. Don't delve into the secrets of Torah so much so until it causes you literally drunkenness. You may never, ever be out of your element. One always needs to remain within their confines of their own worldly circles. A businessman, on the other hand, is warned. The second commandment, Al-Yav B'chaleis Halak Hedish. This pasuk says, on the Seyda Aved of Yom Kippur, on this day, the Baal Esik, the person that works, and the worldly, mundane lifestyle that he lives, he has to elevate to Kedusha. And then it's done in a way that the Tshuka Aza, to detach themselves totally from the heavenly elam, from the frivolities of the world, the lotus men a goof, and they'll want to go out of the goof. Therefore, they're warned, Al Yavi B'chalei Salah Kedesh. Can't come whenever you want. There's a time for everything. And there's a time that you have to return to the Meichun, the Chayichun. These commandments, therefore, emphasize both Anshe Teda and Anshe Maisa. The highest level of everything is to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem. And not to go searching for other personal matters. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Jew to live in this world, and to go through and to pass through all the tests and hardships and trials and tribulations, one needs to fulfill this tafkid with simcha gedayla. One needs to fulfill this mission with a complete and happy and joy and fulfilled joy. Even if this causes him a little drop and a little niche or bump in the road for his own personal matters. Because the true tachlis is to fulfill the shlichus of godliness. Last is the yidin is spreading b'tachteinim to make a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But rather, says the pasuk, b'zeis yavoi arna l'akedish. With this, the Seder Aveda of Yom Kippur, the Kengodlo Yom Kippur, the Rambam describes the Seder Aveda and writes, according to what the Mishnah says, that when a Kohen Gadol goes out from his house to finish the completion of the Avedas HaKedesh, they all accompany him to his house, goes out to go home. And this is a Yom Tov to all his beloved and all those that he knew when he goes out, he comes out in peace from the Kodesh, from Kodesh Kedoshim. So obviously we see this Yom Tov the Kohen Gadol made, that he didn't get affected in Avedas HaKedesh. It's known when he was in Kodesh Kedoshim, he was enveloped totally in the greatest dangers, the most life-threatening dangers. There were Kohanim Gedolim that were not fit for the job, and they went in and they died. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol is told, don't tardy there, don't hang around there, don't come up with all of a sudden a slightest trivial problem that might, chas v'shalom, cause you problems and get you killed. It's all in Mishnas, in Masechtas Yuma, if you're keeping score at home. Take Zayin Mishnah Dalet, Perikei Mishnah Aleph. And therefore, their mission was to go in, daven, and get out. However, every time the whole concept of going home of the Kohen Gadol and the Suda Seidah that he set up, the Thanksgiving dinner that he set up, it's a private matter. Has nothing to do with Avodas Yom Kippur and Beis HaMikdash. In that case, why does the Rambam enumerate it? It's supposed to be a halacha. What halacha do we have here? It's only the Kohen Gadol's private issue. So this can be explained according to the emphasis the Torah says. Perhaps on the needs of the Kohen Gadol, the enumeration of the needs of the Kohen Gadol, what he has to, the requirements, I'm sorry, of the Kohen Gadol, married, not just davening for himself, but davening for his household, which is of course referring to the wife, whereas before Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol has to actually separate himself from the house, sanctify himself. And whereas it's a mandatory thing that while he does Aveda, he davens for his house. And when he completes it, he goes out the Beis HaMikdash to his house. This stage brings about the Tachas Avedas HaMikdash. Tachas Avedas Beis HaMikdash. From one side, Kedusha Yena, the highest possible level of Kedusha, it doesn't get any higher. Aveda Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So it's Tachas HaKedusha. And the going into Kedush Kedushim, place that's holy of holies, the holiest place in the world it possibly could be. And on Yom Kippur, a day that the holiest day, deemed the holiest day of the year. But don't stay there too long. This Kiddush Shelah, to delve into his worldly matters, and therefore immediately upon completion of this Aveda, Kohen Gadol is obligated to go back home. Because this is the bottom line of his Aveda. To bring about and to envelop his own home with godliness for his house and for those that are around him in this world. And we find similarly with Rabbi Akiva, keeping score at home, Gemara Chagiga Yudal Amud Beis, 14 side 2. The Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom, they went into paradise, and they went into the paradise of Teda. The Pshat Rem is Drush and Seid of Teda. The deepest of depths. And only Rabbi Akiva came out b'shalom. He went in b'shalom and came out in peace. Not to detach himself entirely from the world. Thereby, he was able to come out in peace and cause within the world to be reflected from justice. This way, we'll fulfill also the kavana of creation, as the dira yisparach betachtenim, tachlis habriya, which is done dafke when we bring the kedusha yena, the higher kedusha, to the world itself, atachten, and we make from the world a dira betachtenim. How do we do that? Tells us the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Shammai says in the 15th Mishnah of the first Pirkei, Asei Teiroscha Kiva. Make, set a fixed time for your study of Teira.
Emer ve'at ve'aseh harbe. Speak less and do a lot. And greet every person with a very, very pleasant way, in a pleasant, cheerful countenance. The Alter Rebbe explains fixed time of Torah. Torah must be fixed not only in time, but also in its position. The way it's positioned in the soul of the person. Serving as a foundation of a person's life, even if a person's talents lie along another path of divine service, davening, ma'asim tovim, good deeds, they should still emphasize, and the foundation of which his efforts rest should be the study of Torah. Study of Torah is the bottom line of everything. However, the Mishnah finishes, Evi Mekabel Etz Kaladim B'Seve Panim Yafis. Do not let your involvement in Torah, in the Torah study, prevent you from developing relationships with others. The Mishnah here is clearly stating that one must extend them to oneself for every person. Not only the people that are dedicated to the study of Torah, all people, doesn't matter what level of religious commitment they have. And so much so, every person, when it says every person, it could mean even goyim, which raises a question. It's well known. When it comes to goyim, and the goyim came to Shammai, teach him the entire Torah, standing on one foot, Shammai drove him away. Hillel, on the contrary, received him, and very, very kindly told him, what's distasteful for you, do not do to a colleague. List the entire Torah on one foot. Shammai's conduct seems to conflict with his own directive to receive every person cheerful countenance. It can be explained that what we're talking about here is Shammai's natural tendencies. Nevertheless, after Shammai heard Hillel's teachings, be heve tamidim shel Aaron, to be a student of Aaron HaKoyen, ayev shalom, reidev shalom, ayev sabriyez v'kavon la'teira, to love and love peace and chase peace, he changed his nature and taught his students to receive every person with a cheerful countenance, not drive them away, as he did the convert that wanted to convert. One of them, Sechta Seta, talks about the woman, the wayward woman, that unfortunately was warned by her husband that she was out of hand, she was talking to too many people, too many men, and that she was not acting and behaving the way she should. Tells us the Gemara on Chesem et Aleph. Tanan Abonim, Ein Mashkin Shtei Seitois Ka'achas, Kedei Shelei Yehia Libo Gam Bechavirta. The Seita is brought to the Holy Temple and confronted. And in this confrontation, she's asked to drink a drink that is concocted from words of the Torah that are erased from a scroll. And within, God's name is in there. And she drinks this, and if she indeed sinned with a man, she's a married woman, if she sinned with another man, horrible things, says the Gemara, happens to her. If she didn't sin, it was only a suspicion, and it was a fault, then then beautiful blessings come upon her. She becomes pregnant, she has beautiful children, etc. We don't give two women that are being suspected for Seita next to each other to drink in front of one another. One of the choices that the woman has is to opt out and say, yes, I did it. If she confesses to doing it, Rechman al-San, she doesn't have to drink this, and she gets taken away from her husband, or she has to put to death, whatever has to happen to her. But she doesn't suffer the embarrassment that she has to go through here. So if she's standing in front of another woman that was indeed a clean woman, that indeed was not sinning, chas v'shalom, and drinks it and becomes pregnant or whatever it might be, whatever blessing comes upon her for this trouble and pain that she went through, and she sees the other woman says, no, I did not do it, I'm ready to drink, and she could have the opportunity to say, I did it, I'm sorry, I did it, I don't want to drink this. But you don't do one woman in front of it with another woman next to her, because the other woman might say to herself, this woman saying no, I'm also going to say no, and cause herself the horrible, horrible death. So we are concerned of peer pressure, says the Gemara. Concerned to a level that we are worried about another person's life. And therefore, although as convenient as it might be to have a communal, a bunch of women drinking at one time and get this all over with, the Gemara tells us, no. Let it take another hour, another 2 hours, whatever it'll take, till you write the scroll, till you erase the scroll, and each person, each woman, individual, has their own moments, their own time alone, so they don't have to be affected by what somebody else does and could do. She is a little bit shorter today because time restraints. Shabbos Avarchim Chedish Ir, Ir is Rosh Tevis, Ani Hashem Reifecha. Therefore, may we merit all those that need total refuahs, should be totally, totally healed in this month, and we should see the Geula, Amitus Vashtema, at which point when Mashiach comes, everyone will be healed from their physical and spiritual ailments. And we go to Yerushalayim HaKadosh this Shabbat Shalom to all.